You are now listening to a message from Ekia Christian Center. Get set to be edified. God has blessed you.
Today we are looking at the believer and work. The believer and work. Amen. Colossians chapter number 3 from verse 23 to 24. I wanted to reward somebody. Where everybody said glory. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Colossians 3, 20, 24. Now, okay. I think at the end of the service, I'll talk about that. Colossians 3, 20, 24. Are we there? Can we read? One, two, go. It says what? And whatsoever you did, do it what? Church now. Oh, yeah. Utterly, So, whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto what? Do you see that? So, that means in your working for men, you are supposed to do it as unto the Lord. Let's read it again. I want us to read it again. All right? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to what? To the Lord and not unto what? Continue reading. Knowing that what? He said, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your what? Reward. You are serving the what? The Lord Jesus Christ. So that means your work is an instrument of worship to God. Your work. You must see what you do in your secular place of work as part and parcel of your worship to God. Because you may have a boss, you may have a company you work for, all right, you may have a business that you do. Whoever it is you are serving, you must view that service as not unto that man, but as unto the Lord. Very important. You know, there are a lot of believers that just view that, you know, they think, okay, in their work, you know, what they do, they separate it. All right? They separate it because they do not see the connection between their job and their worship. But there is an aspect, all right, of work as worship of God. I want to show some things to, you know, let us establish some things first before we go into the nitty-gritty of what we're looking at today. All right. First thing to note is this. Listen. There is the person of Christ and there are the principles of Christ. This is something that everyone must understand. The person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. The church, we have embraced the person of Jesus. We've embraced what he has done in his death, burial, and resurrection. We have embraced who he is and we fellowship with Jesus in prayer. We come to church. We do all of that. That's the person of Jesus. But there are the principles of Jesus. The principles of Jesus are the framework and the ordinances via which the entire universe operates. All right? Now, many times when you look into the world, you see the principles of Jesus right there in the secular systems and the secular places of the world. So you find that when, you know, there are challenges in the secular places, they don't pray. They apply principles and they solve those challenges. But you find that in the church, we want to pray when there are established principles that we can actually activate and work with. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Look at, in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we know that God created the world. Glory to God. But you see, after creating the world, he appointed ordinances. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 25. All right, praise God. It says, thus said the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, the ordinances are the principles, the things that happen, all right, because God has set it so. There is morning and there is night. Glory to God. The light of the sun and the light of the moon and the rotation of the earth around its axis, all right, determines day and night and determines, all right, seasons of the earth. These are principles. So the man who is a farmer, all right, he plants his crops because there are seasons already established in the atrium. So because he has that understanding, he takes certain steps, principles. Everybody say principles. Yeah. Now listen, the ordinances of heaven and earth are the predictable laws and principles via which anyone can succeed on the earth, whether it's a Christian or is a Muslim or is an atheist. If the person applies the principles, they will succeed. If a farmer plants a crop at the time he's supposed to plant the crop, he will succeed. If a farmer gets to a point where he begins to adopt greenhouse technology, where he says, you see, I don't want to be dependent on whether rain falls or not, or sunlight. I want to create a 365-day condition in which any crop will grow. If he applies that principle, he will succeed. Are you following what I'm saying here? The person is going to succeed. So, many times, believers are strong on our relationship with the person and we abandon the principles of Jesus. The principles of Jesus. So a Christian will not plant when he's supposed to plant, but he will now begin to pray for favor for him to have a great harvest. And be looking for prophetic word to have a great harvest. But he didn't plant when other people were planting. Hallelujah. A Christian, all right, the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also what? Reap. So that means if you do not sow reading while preparing for exam, what are you not going to reap? You are not going to reap what? Distinction. But the believer will not read. And the night of the exam, the person will be to speak in tongues. Father, show me the answer. All right, show me the answer, Lord. Give it to me as a vision. Then he enters the exam one and begins to say, if it is not A, it is B. You understand? If it is not true, it is false. And he said, I was just shading as I was inspired by the Spirit. Are you getting my point? You're bypassing the principles of Jesus, and you want to now leverage the person of Jesus, all right, to bypass established principles. Are we together? Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Glory to God. All right? See, the Bible doesn't present work as a curse, because the principle we are looking at today is the principle of work. Work. Work, labor, is a fundamental divine principle of operations on the earth. Labor. Labor. A lot of people don't like that word. They like favor better. But work, it's a fundamental principle of operation on the earth. It's an ordinance. Whosoever does not work should not eat. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So what you do, glory to God, during seed time, all right, during harvest, during cold, during heat, summer and winter, will determine whether you are successful in the earth realm or not. Glory to God. Very important to note that work was not a product of the curse. Man did not have to work because of a curse. In fact, the very first thing God gave to man before he gave him a woman is that he gave him a job. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Before he gave him Eve, he gave him a job. Amen. He gave him work to do. You were not created to be idle. You were created to be busy. You were not created to be idle. You were created to be productive. Glory to God. Productivity is one of the fundamental proofs, glory to God, that you have connectivity with divinity. That there is a line between you and God. Productivity. Productivity. Any man that has connection with God will be productive. There are things he'll be doing. Any woman that has connection with God, there are things he'll be doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Very important. We must understand this. Spirituality should not just and must not just be measured on, you know, religiosity. You know, oh, people are religious. No, no, you know, and that's the problem we have in Africa. That's the problem we have in Nigeria. We have religiosity without true spirituality. We're religious. Very religious. We can put on a show for God. We can put on a show for God. Great show for God. But when it comes to partnering with God, to fulfilling his agenda on the earth, which is true spirituality, we don't get that. We don't understand that. Glory to God. That's why a politician can come to church, read Bible, do Bible reading, do speaking in tongues, and all that, and the very next Monday, he's signing corruption. You understand? He's partaking of corruption. Just recently, I saw the news that came out about a late governor. All right. And they were talking about, you know, the property this guy had. This guy had, I saw one of the line items on the property that was 7,000 acres of land. Not plotto, acres. How does Jesus, do you know what 7,000 acres of land is? 7,000! Our society should not be celebrating people like that. When you celebrate people like that, that society does not have a future. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It does not have a what? A future. Abroad, because we're going to look at it today, because we're going to examine the Protestant work ethic. This Christianity we believe, what this religion actually believes concerning work and prosperity. Not this nonsense going on. What it actually believes. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. 7,000 acres of land. Poor man before he became governor. May God help us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, so you have and the person will come. It's a corrupt person. You will not be entering that he has a grace in the political space. Which grace? He's a thief. You guys are a thief. What are you talking? Which grace? Person is a thief. We need to call people what they are. He's a thief. Glory to God. Yeah, he's a thief. He's a remarkable thief. Now listen. Why, you know, if you look at the Western world, the richest man in the world is Elon Musk, right? He didn't steal anybody's money. You can see what is making him rich. Many of you, the products that he has used, the brain power he has, the principles he adopted to produce products and services, you have it on your phone. Hallelujah. You have it on your phone. Some of you use the internet service. Amen. All right. Some people have the Tesla. They have all those things. So you can see why the man is rich. That kind of society will continue to be progressive. That kind of society will be above and not beneath. Why? They are engaging the principles of work. There is the principles of meritocracy that has been adopted and enshrined in how they deal. But our own, Africa. This is why I want you to understand that you must learn the true Christianity when it concerns money, work, and productivity. You must understand what biblical favor really is about. True biblical favor. So that you don't become part of the problem, but you become part of the solution. Amen? Yeah. Our own. One person who just, cars, everything. What is the product? We don't know. What is the service? We don't know. You just hear, nah, God. So we have co-opted God into our wickedness. So you find that now God has become the branding we place to say, don't investigate any further. You hear things like, when I was poor, nobody wanted to know the source of my poverty. Now that I'm rich, you want to know the source of my. We want to know, sir. Yes, we want to know. Because we want to make sure you're not a thief. Glory to God. Yeah, we want to know. Recently, there was a particular guy, very rich. He took pictures with the cream de la cream of society in this country. Took pictures with them, real estate moguls, all the big boys. Took pictures with them. They were all on his Instagram page, right? Then, one guy showed up from Eastern Europe, all right? He was a private investigator. He was hired by a woman, a Romanian woman, who had been scammed $2 million. So I've been scammed $2 million, all right, by this gentleman who has been taking pictures with the cream de la cream of Nigerian society, Inspector General of Police, you know, billionaires, you know, people are doing billionaires club, all those kind of stuff. So the guy came, hired a local private investigator, and they began to track this guy. Tracked him. And finally, they tracked this guy, this our, you know, under 30 Forbes person, you understand, to an estate in Abuja. I was living a beautiful this and all that. And they got to his house because they used technology. So because this guy did not know that he could be tracked, he could be chased. They used to go and track him. And they called his name, Mr. Something, Something, Something. The guy came outside and they got him on camera. They said, can I help you? And I said, are you this person? He said, yes. Oh, no. I said, yes. He was like, hi. But the guy just put in a government name. By the grace of God, the guy has been arrested. By the same inspector, then all those people that he was taking picture with. Praise God. He's a thief. Look at him and say, love work. Say, have a work ethic. Shun dishonest gain. Look at him and say, shun dishonest gain. Sadly, in Nigeria, income and war. Sound one song one time. Oh, you bomber, I go chop your dollar. Listen, they are talking about that there's 419 in Nigeria. That a lot of, they are branding Nigeria. When you ever hear Nigeria in Hollywood, don't you hear, it's scammer, you know, Nigerian prince and all that. This income, oh, heard all that. And he wanted to release a song. And do you know what he, listen, he now wrote, oh, you bomb, I go chop your dollar. You understand? And he packaged it and put a lot of idiots in the music video. And now they were dancing, I go chop your dollar. And they now released it to the bloggers for everybody. And, you people, You are basically saying that the branding that we are all thieves is correct. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's just get into this thing. Amen. Now, what is the Protestant work ethic? Somebody asked me, that who are Protestants? Well, let me explain. So you see, back in the day, the church, all right, was one organization, the Catholic, you know, Catholic Church. Now, what is Catholic Church and what is Roman Catholic Church? The word Catholic or Catholica, it means universal, all right? It means global. That's what it means. Catholic means global, okay? Now, at the beginning, the church was one Catholic church, all right? So in that one Catholic church, you had five, you know, leaders in that one Catholic church. So you had the Pope or the Bishop of Rome, all right? Then you had the Patriarch of Constantinople, present-day Turkey. Then you had the Patriarch of Alexandria in Egypt, okay? Then you have had, which one again did you have again? Then you had the Bishop of Jerusalem. Then you had one other bishop. So there were five patriarchs. Now, as time went on and as Islam got stronger, you now found out, time went on, you now have that many of those churches in some of these regions became weaker and weaker. I think the last one was Ethiopia. All right. They became weaker and weaker. All right. But the Bishop of Rome, which is the present Pope, you know, became stronger and stronger. So Roman Catholic Church is actually the Catholic Church that was led by the Bishop of Rome. I don't know if you understand what I've just said. All right. Now, as time went on, in the 16th century, all right, a guy named Martin Luther rose up. And Martin Luther came and said that, look, some of the practices, not all of the practices, but some of the practices that the Bishop of Rome at the time, which was Pope Leo, was espousing was against the Bible. All right. And he nailed 91 points that said that these 91 points reflect where the Roman Catholic Church at the time had departed from biblical teachings. All right. That whole scenario where there was contention on doctrine is what led to what is called the Protestant Reformation. So there was a breakaway, all right, from the Catholic Church. It was not the first breakaway, but it's the one I want to talk about in this service. So you now had the Protestant Reformation. So the Protestants are the people that are protesting. Amen. Glory to God. So Pentecostal church, we are inside Protestants because we were protesting something. You understand? So we now had the Protestant Reformation. Now, what were the things, because I'm focusing on work. What were the things that were important, and how is it that as a result of that reformation, we now have the world that we see today? You see, under the previous order, under the previous system, you had an economic setup that was structured this way. You had kings, okay, and you had lords. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? You had kings and you had lords. It's called a feudal system, which means the king was the number one person. Then he had loyal lords, all right, that were under him. Now, those lords that were under him were given land. So all of the lands in that country where the king was ruler over, all right, was given to all of these lords. So you were powerful in that kingdom because you were a landowner. Are you following what I'm saying so far? So you could be born into the household of a lord. And because you were born into the house of a lord, you were prosperous by birth. You didn't have to work a day in your life. Praise God. All right? You were prosperous by birth. You had, you know, you were born into a house of a lord. You're a feudal person now. So you had the king, the ruling class. Then you had the lords who controlled the capital, the land capital. Then you now had the peasants. The peasants did not have anything. So because they did not have any land asset, they had to work for who? The lords. Is somebody following? Come on, church. Someone following. So they had to work for the lords. So the peasants could never rise. There was a limit on their prosperity. And in that structure, you even found that when it came to education, there was a limitation to the kind of education that the peasants could aspire to. Most of the children of the lords were the ones that went into priesthood, you know, because then the church and the state were knitted together. All right, they're the ones that went into all sorts, anything that was for the elites. The children of the lords went in there, but the peasants did not have a sniff of it. Praise the Lord. Are we together so far? Good. So when the Protestant Reformation happened, the teaching of the Protestant Reformation is this, that all men are equal under God. Are you following what I'm saying? All men are equal under God, and every man has a right to determine his own destiny. The destiny of the man was not determined by the Pope. The destiny of the man was not determined by the Lord. The man himself had a right to determine. Praise God. Sorry. The man himself had the right to determine how his life turned out. Praise God. So, as a result of that philosophy espoused by the Protestants, wars broke out. Wars broke out. The peasants arose and said, you see this order? We don't want it anymore. Okay? So you now had revolutions. So you now had the revolutions where kings were dethroned. You had the French Revolution. All right? Kings were dethroned. You had the American Revolution where they pushed back, all right, on the dominion of the king, the monarchy in England. And said, no, we are going to determine our own destiny. So America, Australia, many of these places where revolutions happened, there was now a transfer of ownership of those assets. Those assets were now no longer owned by lords. Anybody could own assets in the territory. Are you following so far? So with Protestant Reformation, all right, espouses that if you could walk, you should eat. Independent of whether somebody liked your face or not. Are you following what I'm saying? So it talked about you rising in life, you being able to grow your wealth based off on merit, not on rent seeking, not on obeisance to a king, on merit and merit alone. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's what it espouses. So that's why when we look at that system, you now find that if we adopt it, everyone, all right, who does their job well, glory to God, will have an experience increase. So let us look at it. Bible instruction on work, as inspired by Protestant Reformation. Number one, work is a divine vocation. That's number one. Someone say, work is a divine vocation. Yes. What do you do? Are you a fashion designer? See that work as a divine vocation. That the glory of God, the grace of God is manifest through the work of your hands. So because the glory of God and the grace of God and the wisdom of God is manifest through the work of your hand, you should ensure you do great work. Remember Solomon. The Bible tells us the queen of Sheba came to visit. And when she saw the way his servants were seated, how they were dressed, how they walked, how they climbed up the stairs, the protocol, the organization, the order, the systems, the Bible says that she was out of breath. And she said, half of what I have seen, all right, what half of what I have seen is not equal to what I have seen. So it means that the wisdom of Solomon was not just in words. The wisdom of Solomon manifested in what? In what he, how he ordered his house. Now write this down, don't forget it. Knowledge alone is not power. It is knowledge that is acted upon that is power. Knowledge alone is not power. Knowledge that is acted upon is what is power. Knowledge without action is entertainment. Knowledge without action is entertainment. If you increase in knowledge without doing anything with the knowledge you are increasing in, you will see no manifestation. A man that knows that if he turns on the switch, there will be light, but does not turn on the switch, is going to lie in darkness. So there is no difference between the man that knows and the man that does not know if the man that knows does nothing with what he knows. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You see, one of the things the devil can do to a Christian is that you can come to a church like this, hear all the things that you are hearing, and do nothing. Satan can force you to that place of docility where you, despite all you have heard, you don't act. Because he knows he won't stop you from hearing. He will stop you from acting. Because it is not the hearer of the word that is blessed, but the what? The doer. Glory to God. So don't just rejoice, stop at rejoicing at what you have heard. Rejoice that you are doing what you have heard. Glory to God. 2026 is the year of what? Doings. Because it's in the doings that there will be manifestation. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So see your work as a divine vocation. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. All right. If we look at Genesis 2:15 already, where it says God put man, the man in Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's work. Then look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and what? Say this with me. In my job, I am fruitful and I multiply. Say it again. In my job, I am fruitful and I multiply. Don't be a person that works in a place and we don't see doings. How? You're a Christian. Tie your Christianity to your output. Glory to God. How can they be a Christian there and they are not moving forward? What do you mean they are not moving forward? How? You are there. I'm sitting down there and say, you see, they did not, this company said, they did not. You are saying, you are doing they did not. Did they hire you to be doing they did not? They hired you for productivity. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Pastor, you don't understand. It's the salary. They are not paying me well. My question is this. Are you productive? There is a way to negotiate your salary. Are you productive? Listen. Let's say you work in a place where currently the revenue is 300 million naira per annum and your salary is 150k. And you're saying, Pastor, I don't like this salary, is too small. They did not. Okay, how much do you want to earn? Pastor, you know, I want to be earning like 1 million naira a month. No problem. It's fine. What do they do where you work? How can you ensure they currently do 300 million? What can you do to ensure that you help them grow revenue by 50%? They grow from 300 to 450. And your work, what you did that year, can be directly linked to that growth. Let me tell you something. It's not 1 million they will offer you. They will call you, come and sit down here. Listen, the person that is able to make it rain will sit at the table. Amen. Amen. The person that is able to make it, he will sit at the table. It's liability that they always say, I can't, you don't want, no problem. That's what we are offering you. You want to quit? What they are telling you is that your absence, you are easily replaceable. Your absence will make no difference. Glory to God. I was listening to a story. Listen to this. You know, interesting story. How many of you watch wrestling? Let me ask again. To make sure people are following this one. How many of you watch wrestling? Okay, how many of you have ever watched wrestling? You know wrestling? Well, Kogan came, you know, I used to watch wrestling when I was growing up. I thought it was real. No, I thought it was like organic, you know, that kind of stuff. Listen, my dad used to allow us to watch it. I used to watch, you know, characters like Bret the Hitman Hart, Yokozuna, or Kogan. So I thought it was a real matchup that the two of them fought. And the person that was stronger beats the weaker person. And I didn't know that it was scripted. So you say Monday Night Raw, and they will fight. Then they will say WrestleMania 13, WrestleMania 10, and somebody will now win, and the person will get the belt. And we're like, you know, I was like, yes. When I found out that it was scripted, I felt betrayed. No, actually, I felt that my childhood was stolen from me because I invested into this fight. Yes, I invested into this fight. Me and my sisters played some WrestleMania too. You know, you now jump on the person, someone be referee, 1, 2, 3. I said, you mean that they scripted their own? And I felt offended. So there was a story told by The Rock. It was a wrestler, right? So he came to the boss, you know, Steve Mahon, and said, look, I this is how much I'm earning. I believe I should be earning this amount. I believe I should be earning this amount. He said, yeah, you believe it. The guy didn't argue. Your employer does not mind playing you more if the numbers make sense. Because nobody wants to lose a cash cow. Nobody wants to lose someone that makes it rain. That's the truth. So he said, no problem. He said, how much do you think you should be paid? He said, how much is the highest person paid? So he said, the highest person that is paid in the organization is a guy called Stone Cold Steve Austin. He said, no problem. All right. So he said, how much does Stone Cold Steve Austin say? Stone Cold gets $2 million guaranteed. He said, no problem, pay me that. The guy said, no problem. I have no problem. He said, no problem. He said, he called an executive and said, follow him. He will show you how this business works. How much each person contributes directly to the bottom line and how we determine remuneration. He said, no problem. He went back there. Sat down with the guy. That guy now told him every single thing. How much they make from the gates. How much it costs to rent the arenas. All right. Marketing, advertisement, partnership splits. All those things. They show it to him. He now said, oh, wow. So thank you very much. I now understand. All right. So the man asked him, so how much do you think we should pay you? He said, you may not pay me up to Stone Cold. Just pay me. I think maybe like $1 million I will manage. Then the guy laughed and said, actually, what the data is telling us that is that by the end of this year, we will be paying you $15 million. You see, understanding is important in the marketplace. Nobody hires you because they like you. Amen. When you are being interviewed, nobody is hiring you. If you're a business person, nobody is looking at your pretty face. Listen, any man that is making a decision concerning business with you because of sex, there's nothing serious in that business. People make hiring decisions, business decisions on value. Someone say value. Yes, what are we gain? It's a selfish venture. What am I going to gain from this exercise? What are you going to add? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at it. Jacob came into Laban's business, and because of Jacob's presence, the wisdom of God in Jacob, how hardworking Jacob was, Laban's business exploded. And Laban said, Jacob, I know that the reason why this thing is booming is because of you. I know. That's a Christian. That's how a Christian should be. Glory to God. Joseph got to Potiphar's house, and the blessing of God came. Some people think that what happened was when Joseph got to Potiphar's house, Joseph was just sitting down there, and God said, Joseph is there. I'll be blessing. No, that blessing came from certain things Joseph did. He brought order into the house. There was schedule. There was plan of work, scope of work. Everybody in Potiphar's house had KPI. They had things they were supposed to do. There was job description. There was management wisdom. Hallelujah. There was proper allocation of capital. Things moved smoothly. Amen. I said amen. You have a business. There's no separation between business money and your money. You just come in there. How much we don't make today? 50,000, no problem. Yinka, take 5,000 naira. Go and me buy a wagon bread. Your business made 200 million revenue. You took 50 million naira out of business revenue to buy a house for yourself. No separation. How will the business grow? You lack wisdom. It can't grow. You don't know how to run a business. Hallelujah. Let's just continue. Amen. So the first is a work must be seen as a divine vocation. Hallelujah. So work was instituted by God before the fall. Work is not a consequence of the fall. All right? Martin Luther taught that every legitimate occupation is a mask of God through which the Creator provides for humanity. Your job is a tool God will use to provide. Your job or your business is a tool God will use to what? Meet the needs of those who don't have. So do not view or look at what you do, the legitimate thing that you do, all right? Look down on it. Don't look down on it. Now listen, all right? Martin Luther also famously said that the maid who sweeps a kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. And listen, all right? He also said that a Christian shoemaker serves God not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making what? Good shoes. A lot of Christians have these things about, you know, putting Jesus in their business name. You say your business is Jesus bread. The bread is not sweet. It's salty. Hallelujah. You say Mary, the mother of Jesus restaurant. The food is not sweet. Remove the name. Stop embarrassing Zion. Amen. Remove those names. The way for you to extol Christian virtues in your business is by being excellent at what you do. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I'll give you an example. When we came, moved to this area, all right, one of the things we used to do for first timers, well, we used to make sure that we package lunch for them. And there are times where we did, Family Sunday and all that, and everybody ate. Now, I'm not going to point the place, so I'll just say it. So there was a place we used to order food from, right? We used to order food from that place, okay? And we order food from the place and, you know, share and all that. I never got a good report. We were spending money. It was not cheap. Imagine after you have approved 400,000, something for food, and the feedback is, most people could not eat the food. The food was not sweet. I said, "Yeah." So I now said, "Bring the food. Let me taste it." I put the tea in my mouth. I was looking for the pepper. I didn't find it. I was looking for tomato. I couldn't find it. All right. It was consistent. You know, some people know how to consistently be mediocre. Do not be the Christian who is consistently mediocre, but excellently spiritual. You are confusing us, even Satan. Satan is confused. Because Satan does not understand how you are prayerful, but you are mediocre. How you are fellowshipping with God, and that God is not talking and imparting excellence into your system. The woman lost the discipline. We stopped using her. We stopped. No matter how she prays from now to tomorrow and prophesies, no matter who lays leg on her, we will not buy food from her. It's a simple thing. Glory to God. You might only have one opportunity to make the good impression. You may never have a second opportunity to make a good reception. Queen Sheba, all right, came to Solomon once. And that one time, she stood in front of Solomon. She was impressed. Why? Because Solomon did daily. Hallelujah. What Solomon did daily was what she found, you know, Solomon doing. The problem with many of us is this. We do mediocrity daily, then we try to make excellence a special event. But we find, the thing is, many times, opportunities don't come on special days. Opportunities come on regular days. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Now, let us go on quickly, because I'm almost out of time. We've got to move quickly. Amen? I said amen. Number two, diligence and excellence are acts of worship. The believer is to view his work as an extension of worship. He is to connect the work he does with the manifestation of the character of God through that work. Colossians 3:23-25. He said, servants, obey in all things your masters according to flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So the Lord will do the rewarding, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So our service must be unto the Lord. Ephesians 6:5-7, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sickness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from God. Now, some people may need to ask that, servants, is the Bible validating slavery? No, the Bible is not validating slavery. You must understand that around this time, they had an economic system. You remember this, what I just explained when I talked about the kings, the lords, and the peasants? Come on now. So they were different. Among the peasants, there were different groups of people. So you had folks that were servants, all right, slaves, based on capture from war, okay? And because based on capture from war, they were slaves in a master's house. So what they did was they served that master, and after a time, they were let free. You understand? But if you look at the Jewish system, the one God ordained, you find that no Jew was to be made a slave. If a Jew was a slave, that Jew most likely took a debt and could not pay. And the security, all right, for the debt that he took, okay, was that he had to now work for the person that he borrowed from and serve out the, you know, the amount that he owed. Praise God. And they had, you know, the year of Jubilee, that even if he had not finished paying, but if it fell on the Jubilee year, that debt was what? Forgiven. So I don't have time to start talking about, but the Bible did not ordain slavery. What is that we find is that slavery was a system that existed, all right? And through that framework, all right, we have that the instruction that was to walk in love, walk in the Spirit, even through an adversarial system. Praise God. All right, next thing to notice is this. Warning against idleness. A believer should not be idle. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Proverbs 10:4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly what? Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. The Bible is against idleness. Pastor, there is nothing to do. It's a lie. It's a lie. You can fry akara. You're laughing. Do you know how much is in akara? The problem with many folks is this. The problem is that there are no jobs. The problem is that they have an idea of what kind of job they must do. Do you know how much you can make from frying akara? If you fry it well. Amen, somebody. Ileyo, what are they selling there? What are they selling there? It's not pounded yam. Glory to God. Pounded yam. Well packaged. You say your own akara, you package it well. Glory to God. You say, dun dun yam. You get, you know, nice bowl. Put the stuff inside there. Do you know, I don't think, let me tell you some of the jobs I've done. When I was younger, because I was trying to help my dad, one of the jobs, the things I did was I was a cartoonist. I was drawing. I used to draw comics and sell. In fact, that was one of the first things I did, you know, to make money in GSS1. And my target market was my junior sister's primary class. I'm telling you, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. And the art was not that great, but they are primary people. What do they know? Praise the Lord. What do they know? Whatever your heart finds to do, do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatever, listen. Money from shit packing does not smell. Glory to God. You say, Pastor, I won't marry if I'm a shit packer. You have not scaled the shit packing. By the time you have 15 shit packing trucks, pulling in 70,000 every day, each truck. That is how much? 850K a day. Multiply that by 20 working days. How much is that? 17 million. 17 million times 12 is how much? How much is that? That's almost 300 million from shit packing. You are my dear, my brother. Koiti here. What is wrong with you? You are doing shit packing business. You are living in your house. Nobody cares. Cooking room. Glory to God. After you've packed the shit, you will now go into, you now do backward, you know, forward integration. You will now develop a value chain. From that shit, you are going to produce manure for agricultural purposes. So you will now begin to sell the shit, you know, per kg, per kilo to farmers. It's a cheaper source of manure. So you put it, manure their lands and all, and they're getting agricultural food. You will dry the shit though. You dry it up. You preserve it. I'm telling you, that's not all. There's another point. This is you will now use and say, okay, you're going to do another part of the value chain where you are going to produce methane gas, cooking gas from the shit. Do you know you can generate methane gas, cooking gas from shit? Stay there. You think shit is useless? There is nothing, there is no useless thing in this world. Shit. You can produce, yes, you can produce methane gas from shit. That was my SS2 science assignment. That was what I did. I produced gas from shit. And you make it a shit, methane. Listen, in Qatar, they have something called desalination plants. Desalination plants. Why? Because they don't have fresh water in the desert. They only have salty water from the ocean. So do you know what they did? They piped that salty water from the ocean to desalination plants. So in those plants, they desalinize that salty water and produce fresh water from the salty water. Nigeria, we have water everywhere, underground, everywhere. But we don't have drinking water. Qatar has drinking water. You don't need to boil their water. You, from the tap, you can drink it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen. And before you say, Nigeria is stupid. This country, this thing. Every place where there is dysfunction, there is money to be made. Nigeria must not be too organized. Because if it's too organized and too developed, you don't have opportunity to become rich. In Lekki, that's what they do. Our water is not clean there. Praise the Lord. So some people, their businesses, they bought tanks and they will go to places where there is clean water, load it up on trucks and supply all the houses in Lekki. Look at your neighbor and say, it is not what you don't have that limits you. It's what you have that you don't know how to use. And you don't like to walk. Oh, like you share. Praise the Lord. Yes. Listen to me. The best work to do is mental work before manual work. Your brain needs to sweat before your hand sweats. If your brain does not sweat, your hand will always sweat. But if your brain sweats, your hand will sweat less. Then you will get to a point where your hand doesn't sweat at all. Glory to God. I hope as I'm talking, somebody is getting ideas. Warning against idleness. Don't be idle. Don't wake up by 11 o'clock. Watch Netflix till 4 a.m. You are turning inches. 6 a.m., turn inches. You're turning. Like that. Till 11 in the morning. What happened? This country is useless. They don't have job for the youth. They are not serious. Make content. Do something, sir. Do something. There's nothing to do. That is the problem. Your brain is not sweating. Glory to God. Listen to me. Hey, I watched a movie, Onobiren, by my wife's and I's friends, Apostolian and Lajurian. So I went to watch the movie, and I was so blessed by it. It was a story about a lady whose father was a fisherman. Oh, sorry. Okay, so the essence of the story, is that from a challenge, a business enterprise arose. From a challenge. Sometimes we are complaining about the challenges in our lives and using it as a reason to say God does not love us. You don't understand that pain you are going through is the motivation for the business idea you need to execute. Without the pain, you won't. Some people, it is because you lost a job that the business you are doing it now. Pain is a great motivator. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me even tell you, fear is a great motivator. That fear that, I don't want to ever return to poverty. There is nothing that keeps a man awake like responsibility. Someone came and asked me, said, PF, I really admire you. Look how you are doing. You are pastoring, and you are not failing. You are always, listening. And at work, you are there. How are you doing it? I said, madam, it's responsibility. I don't have father's house I will run to. You do. Praise the Lord. You do. You have father's house. You can go, daddy. I don't have. My daddy is this, but I won't disturb him. At his age, I'm supposed to be nurturing him. He's not supposed to be nurturing me. Amen? So he keeps me up at night. Do you sleep? I sleep what I can sleep. You understand? Because I have, when I look at my daughter, and I look at my son, I look at my darling wife, and my newborn baby, I have to, Are you, responsibility. Nothing keeps a man awake like responsibility. We are saying, I don't know, I'm just feeling low, you are not responsible. You're not responsible. You still have somebody that is, making things this thing. Like, for example, I have this business idea that I'm doing. This business idea. Has it worked? It has not worked. 5 years, it has not worked, this business idea. Brother, you're not responsible, sir. I'm not responsible. The business, 5 years not work, 10 years not work. It's still an idea. This one is, what is the name of that film that the guy was doing business idea before Yama? That Tyler Perry film. What is the name of that film? I forgot his name. This is not acrimony. It's not acrimony. Brother, it's not working. Get responsible. If it is that you will start washing people's clothes, start washing it. Start laundry service. Pastor, do you have iron at home? Is there detergent? Start washing, start laundry. You have to do something. Praise the Lord. If it's that you are going to fry a car, fry it too. If you are going to fry yam and dodo, fry it. I fried dodo, pepper dodo like you have never seen in your life. Advertise it. Start. Begin to look for how you use technology to sell that dodo. See, Pastor, the people around me don't buy dodo. People far from you buy. Use delivery service. You know what I'm saying? Whatever your hands finds to do, do it. Do not be idle. Look at them and say, do not be idle. Before you start selling the dodo, tell people to test it to whether it's sweet. A believer should never be idle, waiting for handouts. It's good to ask for help. But do not make it your routine to live on handouts. I'm talking to the men and I'm talking to the women. Wife, you can't bill your husband though. That's why I married you. I'm not talking to you. Bill your husband. It's a love language. Amen. But also, as a wife, don't be idle. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Listen, next point. Disciplined, productive labor is evidence of genuine faith. Hallelujah. The Bible connects the productivity of a believer's work to the blessings of God. For God to bless a basket, you must have a basket for him to bless. For God to bless the works of your hand, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, all right, 1 to 18, it means your hands must be working. 0 times 1 million is what? Zero. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That's consistent, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's including your job. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, what a believer does as unto the Lord will be rewarded by the Lord. So if you do your job with your mindset on the Lord and his assignment, and you are doing it unto the Lord, he will reward it. Glory to God. Yeah. Productive labor is evidence of genuine faith. You have a business. You are a business person. And you are resuming by 1 p.m. You don't have faith. Your prayer is useless. You are selling houses. You are in real estate. You are not running ads. It's been 3 weeks. No inspection. Evidence of faith is productive labor. You have a job. You are doing your job. I mean, they said you should produce slides, presentation. You finish the thing, and it's looking weird. They always have to tell somebody else to help them work on it after you have worked on it. And you get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Productive labor is evidence of genuine faith. So the believer must reject laziness, procrastination, and quiet quitting. Whether your boss is watching or not, give your best, because Christ is your ultimate boss. All right? Commit your plans to the Lord and watch him establish your work. Glory to God. Next point. Stewardship, frugality, and generosity. I'm going to move quickly. The believer must have a clear God purpose for earning. Why do we earn? We earn to be a blessing to our neighbor. Ephesians 4:28. Let him labor. Let him that steal no more, but let him work, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have something to give to him who has needs. All right? Now, number two, the believer must be faithful in resources. Luke 16:10. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. All right, in the parable of the talents that we looked at last week, Matthew 25:14-13, we saw that God rewards those who productively invest what he entrusts. Listen, material increase is not given. Material increase is entrusted to people. Increase is a demonstration of God's trust in your capacity to manage it properly. So you must be a good steward of increase. Look at your neighbor and say, you must be a good steward of increase. So by being a good steward of increase, listen to me, everybody. Live below your means. I want you to shout it as though I stole your kada. Say, live below your means. One more time. Live below your means. 100 million naira in your account should not equate to a 100 million naira lifestyle. That's how you will go broke. If you were earning 10 million a year and that money moved to 100 million a year, your lifestyle should not immediately move from 10 million lifestyle to 100 million lifestyle. Listen, if you trace me very, I'm sure that they will find Igbo DNA inside my DNA. I'm telling you, I love the Igbos. No, I'm serious. Do you know I love them? I love Igbo people. See, you can see a guy. Some of them are in the pharmaceutical space. They are my clients. You will see a guy that has a turnover of 5 billion and you'll be using Nokia 3310 touchlight. Nokia 3310 touchlight. If he has an Android phone, there will be rubber band holding it together. Have you seen what? 5 billion turnover. One day I went to Lagos Island to buy shirts. You know, then I used to buy suit and shirt from Lagos Island. I don't do that anymore. But I used to buy then. Right? Hey, Jesus. So I bought something. Right? No, I used Tivante, so I don't have to buy. You know. So I bought something there. So something happened. We had a disagreement. So he was not supposed to, return my money. So, hey, he logged into his app. And as he logged into his app, I saw the... Let me tell you something. So I had paid. So what we agreed is, so I was now, what is all this? That's not what I had. Normal customer, they say, what is all this nonsense? No, you have to return that money. You have to return it. You have to return it. No, that's not what we agreed. You have to return. When the guy opened up, I saw the balance. I look at the guy. Say, it's not bad, And I began to think, maybe this guy needs to open an account in my bank. Because money was heavy. And very nice. Very nice. Nice man. Nice. He has this. He opened one. I saw like half a billion inside. This guy is selling shirt and stuff. And cufflinks. Hey, God help us. Half a billion inside. So he said, he has exceeded his limit for that one. He opened another one. Heavy, heavy money. I calm down. You can say, Pastor, you like money. No, it's not. It's respect that. His office, he was not inside AC. His office was, he just put a chair and this thing, sit outside with a POS and calculator. And things were happening. Hallelujah. There is work. Do you want to work? That's the problem. The problem with us is those of us that went to school, we have an idea of what work should look like. We think it must be inside one office, AC will blow and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be that way. You can be the largest distributor of pure water in Idumago. Nobody sends, you understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are meeting a need. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You are meeting a need. But the thing is this. Why I love the Igbo brethren is that they live below their means. The businessman. That's one of the things their master will teach them. You must live below your means. You must always have money in reserve to take advantage of opportunities. Always. So that Igbo guy is a businessman that is riding Okada. Don't look that on him, oh. Don't use your Toyota Camry 2008 model to jam him. Calm down. The guy has money. Yo. Amen. There was one that he was saying, he was living a face me, I face you. But he was building a house in his village. Live below your means. You got 2 million naira. You use 1.7 to buy iPhone 25. You've been poor for a long time. Go shake me. I'm not cursing you. It's just you don't have sense. And I'm saying you don't have sense so that it will pain you. So you rethink your life. Glory to God. God just blessed you with 5 million. I saw one story. A woman was putting on this thing. He said, this my husband loves me very well. He just showed me 5 million entered. And he took 1.5 million for me to use to buy Bone Street. He really loves me. The husband and the wife, both of them are mad. $1.5 million. Is it from the profit or from the revenue? For the woman to buy air. The man married wrong. Yes, he married wrong. Because a good woman will say, no, that's not a wise financial decision. Brothers, make sure that's the kind of woman you marry. The one that will say, no. You see, because a woman that really loves you and is there for you, your money, she sees it as her own money. So because she will not mismanage her money, she won't mismanage yours. Glory to God. Live below your means. Everybody say, live below your means. Be generous, but don't be generous to a fault. The person that has a mindset of a beggar does not know his limit. You that you are generous, you must know your limit. The person that begs and you are generous, The day you don't have anything, that person is going to run analysis on you. You'll say, God bless her, but you don't manage himself well. You know it. You know, manage yourself well. Glory to God. No, live below your means. Be generous, but know your limit. Look at them and say, know your limit. Yes, know your limit. As a church, we do welfare, but we know our limit. We know our limit. Because if we use all church money to do welfare and we can't pay for rent, you won't have a place to sit down. Will you have a place to sit down? And when you come, you'll not be there. You know it's explanation. And you see, it's story. Know your limit. Look at him and say, know your limit. You know this thing I'm talking about, live beyond your means. As a church, we practice it too. We practice it. You cannot spend everything. You can't. You must plan your finances. Amen. For example, listen, everybody. If you have a job and you end somewhere decent, and this is just some counsel. Anyone is looking for free financial advice they won't pay for? Eh? Yes. They won't pay for? Okay. Hallelujah. Those of you online, you want free financial advice, tell me in the comment section. Right. Okay. In the next 2 to 3 years, the world is going to be in a state of, all right, slow economic growth and inflation. This war that is going on between Iran and Israel, where they are destroying energy facilities, is going to lead to increase in the cost of crude oil. Because currently crude oil is trading at $130 to a barrel, which will translate to increase in fuel cost and diesel. Because of increasing fuel cost and diesel, there is going to be concurrent increase in everything else, especially in Nigeria. The result is this: your rent is going to go up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your rent is going to do what? Go up. Your landlord is going to come to you at the next renewal and he wants to renegotiate the rent. Okay? Now, right now, the federal government has released something called MREITs. M-R-E-I-T. Can go and Google it. It is a fund for people to lend at below 10% so that they can own their own home. They can own their own home. If you are a salaried person, try and get involved there so that you can cap your rent. You convert your rent to mortgage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So if you need to sell some useless things that you bought to impress people that don't care, sell it and use that money to down payment, because the down payment is just 10% of the value of the property. There are some properties, 2 bedroom, that are 60 million, 50 million. The down payment is 5 million or 6 million, and you can move in. And your mortgage payment, all right, will now come in, and it is spread over 20 years. So imagine if you had 60 million, you paid 6 million, 54 million is left. If you divide 54 million by 20, how much does that come in principal repayment every year? Just about 2 point something million. It means that for the next 20 years, your rent will not exceed what? 2 point something million. Now, what is the additional value? The value is that that property you finance with mortgage increases. Because remember what we talked about last week? You use capital to purchase what? Assets. What is an asset? An asset is either something that increases in value over time or generates what? Cash. Cash flow. So you need to be thinking of steps like that. If you are currently using NEPA and using fuel for your gen, you need to begin to think about solar. You have to start thinking of that. So that you can cap your what? Energy spend. All right? Now, when you think about solar, you have to think, now that I have 24 hours light, what can I do to be more productive to ensure that I increase my what? My revenue. Because power in your house is not so that you can watch more film. It's so that you can have power to be what? Productive. Are we together? Good. Let's wrap this up. Are you learning something this morning? So you see, when we pray, and we release the blessing of God, all right? It is so that after we've prayed, you go outside there and make different decisions. Say, put your hand on your chest and say, from today, I take decisions compatible with wisdom. Say it again. I take decisions compatible with wisdom. You are driving a 35 million naira car, but you don't have any steady business that is delivering 1 million, 2 million to you every month. Go and sell the car. That car you are riding is capital for your business. Are you know what I'm saying? Sell that car, buy a cheaper one, maybe 6 million. You say, what would people say? What are you talking about? What consign people with what they are saying? Sell the car. That is capital for your business. Now you will now use that capital, sweat it, so that that capital can begin to produce 5 to 10 million naira monthly. From that cash flow, you will buy a better car. Glory to God. Because you have trapped your assets, your capital into something that is not producing for you. Glory to God. You can say, but pastor, okay, can I use the 35 million naira car to do Uber? No. Mm-mm. Sell that car. Get the 35 million naira. Divide that 35 million naira and begin to purchase like 7 cars or 8. 4 million each. If it's Uber idea you want to do. 4 million each. How many cars would that buy? Is that not 8? You now have a fleet of cars to do the business. Or if you don't want to do Uber, you have 8 cars. Go and say, okay, this is better than Uber. You can tell people that if you are from this location, we can do crowd sharing, something. From this place to this place is 10,000 naira. Each person 2-5 every day. Oh, yeah, book. People book. Basically, you take shortless idea, praise God, and you replicate it and put it in your own business, but now you have 8 cars. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to think differently. Hallelujah. The point is not to look comfortable. The point is to actually be comfortable financially. Let's wrap it up. Time has gone. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, Owo igbe, okinrun. Translation, money from shit does not smell. Money from akara selling is not oily. Amen. You know, you can be the largest distributor of Ogi in Southwest. Ogi. Largest. You can open office with AC inside, with HR account on Ogi. Ogi. Glory to God. You can be the largest distributor of Waterleaf. You know Waterleaf? You know Waterleaf? Yes. Do you know that they now sell Waterleaf in supermarket? Waterleaf. Somebody is supplying. They will get Waterleaf, cut the leaf, put the stock, and they package it inside nylon. Then they get it in the supermarket. The supermarket puts it inside fridge to preserve it. Waterleaf, because some people like myself cannot always go inside market to be buying leaf from. I can't do after time. Listen, think. Amen. Look at him and say, think. Eh? Think. Look at him and say, think. You see, when we say, release the favor of God, it is so that your brain will think. God gave you a brain so that he will not always have to think for you. Think. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's wrap this up. 10 skills. I just want to just write it down. To acquire that will be useful in the next 10 years. You need to acquire the skill now. Skills are required to get the job, or if you're a career person, a business person. If you're a business person, you will need these skills, all right, to be able to speak and to be able to be, how will I put it, to be understood. All right, in the next 10 years. Top 10 skills. I'll just give you just one. 10. All right. Now, listen. According to Jobs Report, World Economic Forum's Futures of Jobs Report 2025, all right, it's been projected that nearly 40% of core skills will change by 2030. All right. With AI and big data leading the growth. So, it's important that right now, if you are in the job market and you work, you are paying attention. If you're a tech bro here or a tech sis, you will know that in the Western world, a lot of your colleagues are losing their jobs. A lot of colleagues are. Look, right now, if what you are doing is that you write code, right, in the tech industry, in tech space, a lot of people are losing their jobs there. Why? Because there are more efficient ways of writing code now. Okay, so you have to just pay attention. Praise God. And by the way, please, this month of March is our month where we focus on this matter. Before someone said, I came to Oikea for the first time, and all they talked about was money. Mm-mm. We are focusing on this month. Praise God. Glory to God. By the time you come to see us and we pray for 12 hours, you know that we do spiritual things here too. Glory to God. But this month, we're focusing on this. All right, skills to focus on number one. Write this down. Artificial intelligence literacy. Understand how to use AI. Understand it. Please, understand it. Everybody, if you have smartphone, download ChatGPT, Gemini. All right? Start learning how to use it. Learn how to use it. Use AI to correct your English. You want to post on social media. Take that thing, write it somewhere, then post it there and say, put a prompt, correct this English, paragraph it and all that. It will produce something for you. All right? Learn how to use AI. All right? Learn how to use it. Number two, data analysis and analytics fluency. All right? So even if, for example, maybe you are a therapist, people come to your... you know, to your practice. All right, with people coming to your practice, data is being generated. You need to be able to mine the insights from your data. So data is being generated. You are taking their name, their age, where they live, and all of that. You need to be able to analyze that data, generate insights from that data, and take decisions based on that data. So for example, if you're a therapist and you looked at your data and say, okay, in this last 1 year, I have sat with 250 clients, all right? 60% of these clients were between the ages of 18 to 25, all right? And they earned a median of 5 million naira per annum, and they lived on the mainland. You know that data right there is going to determine your marketing spend, all right? It's going to determine how you do your market targeting. It means on social media, when you are doing your targeting, it is 18 to 25. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's what you're going to do. So you're able to use that data, all right, to drive organizational decisions. Number three, cybersecurity awareness, all right, the basics. Know the threats, know how to protect your data, know the secure practices, do your risk assessment, all right, identifying your risk and, you know, ensuring you adopt the mitigants. Number four, fourth skill you should adopt, adaptability, resilience, and the ability to learn continuously. In the next 10 years, if you don't adapt, you'll be left behind. You hear what I said? If you don't adapt, you will be left behind. If you are a driver, you are saying, I'm a driver. I'm the best driver in the world. They are doing driverless buses. It will soon enter Nigeria. Driverless buses. If you are in logistics and delivery, I drive Okada like a mad. Don't worry. I'm a bad guy. Don't worry. They are bringing out Okada. That, you know, all those agri-roads that used to stop Okada. Okada is coming that does not have any driver. There's a company called Zipline that uses drones to deliver drugs. So you go on this thing, you make an order, a drone will come and deliver the drug to you in your house. If you don't adapt, they will leave you behind, though. Praise God. You see how the choir came and they sang today. And someone said, maybe Pastor Abama wants to go and record a song. A man wants to record a song. Do you know that their competition will be AI? I had a song by AI. I told you I used AI to do something. The thing was sweet. Let's not lie. The Gbedu set. The trending songs right now are AI songs. So... Glory to God. Look, my next song, we will use AI to augment my voice. That you will hear my voice. You say, PF, when did you start learning? Did you go for voice training? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. By the time I put riff there, oh, yeah. It will come. It will be rough on this thing. I'm at the scene where I smoothen the thing, Jerry. Put Michael Jackson on there, put this ones on there, mix it, you know, put everything, jollof it, bring out the thing. My voice is still sounding cool, amen? It means that if you're a sound producer, and I say you should come and work on my album, and you give me what I gave you, amen? Think about it. I want you to think about it. It means that a frog voice is no limitation against a great music career. Where we are going? Are you what I'm saying? This brother here can be the highest selling artist in the world. All you just have to do is cough into the mic. Yeah, we. I'm serious. I'm not joking, no. If it goes, all we do is we take the lyrics that he wants to actually sing, that he couldn't sing. We put it there. AI will take the texture of his voice and produce song. And when he's performing, he doesn't really need to sing. You just hear, DJ, roll it. You know the song. Six skill to get. All right? Sorry, number five. Let's just round the cuff time. Sorry, I'm taking longer than I should. But is anyone getting value? Are you learning something? Remember, knowledge without action is just what? Entertainment. So after this service, go and you must do something. It's not for you to do service. Well, I don't care. You don't come and I want you to progress. You need to do something. After this sermon. Glory to God. Yes, you need to. After this, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? I will give you where you will go to get certain more information. What are you going to do? Which books? What are you going to do? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I like people coming to IKEA, raw, nothing, good. We'll put the thing inside of you, right? But you need to act. You need to act. Number six, critical and analytical thinking and complex problem solving. You need to be able to think. These are soft skills. You need to be able to think on your feet. Think on your feet. Solve messy real-world problems requiring judgment leadership. Number six, emotional intelligence, empathy. Emotional intelligence and empathy. You have to learn how to build relationships. This is a skill. It's a soft skill. Build relationships. Lead teams. Influence people without authority. Leading from a leaderless position. Learning how to lead without being number one in the team. It's a soft skill. That's influence without authority. Learn how to manage conflict and show empathy. This is your advantage over AI. Praise God. Number seven, communication. Seven skills you should, for the next decade, communication. Clear ability to communicate thoughts, ideas clearly. Storytelling with data. Generating reports. Actionable reports. All right? Those things are important. Develop that skill. Number eight. This is, depending on your field, project management, creative thinking. All right? Sustainability. All right, and green skills. Basically, that is how to function in, there's something called sustainability, SDI, Sustainability Development Index, where you are talking about reducing carbon emissions and all of that. You need to be able to know how to build a sustainable framework around your business. Around your business. In fact, if you are able to demonstrate that you have built, all right, sustainability into your business, all right, reducing carbon emission and ensuring that your business is actually helping the environment, there are actually funding and grants you can get linked to that. All right, let's just close this quickly. Amen. Amen. All right, then, all right, if you're an IT, cloud computing, AI, all of that, training models and all of that, all those things, content creation and all that. All right, so there are things you can do. You know, you can plan to get some of these courses for these things I've mentioned on platforms like Coursera, all right? Coursera is C-O-U-S-E-R-A, edX, LinkedIn Learning, YouTube, all right? Or, you know, AI sandboxes all over the internet, all right? You can do that. There are, you know, AI solutions you can use for everything right now, for report generation, PowerPoint, and all of that. You know, there's one I use. I use one called Skywalk. All right, Skywalk is what I use for my reporting and my proposals, presentation, and all that. It generates everything for me. All I have to do is just put, you know, the text in. Praise God. So what do you do? Every day, after you've read your Bible and prayed, you're back from work. Maybe spend 20 to 30 minutes on that course. Or 1 hour on that course. You discipline yourself. I must spend 1 hour on the course. Shut down the phone. Bring your laptop. Right, you are learning. Every day, you are learning. It is those things you do little by little that compound into mighty manifestations. So, if it's that you are reading a book, read it 20 to 30 minutes, 1 hour every day till you finish. Learn to finish things. Glory to God. Finish things. Improve yourselves every single day, and it will show when you are in the marketplace.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For more messages, kindly search for our Telegram channel using the link t.me/oikiacc. God has blessed you.